Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth. You just made an awesome decision to tune into yet another episode. I am your host, Cicely Davis. I am so very grateful to have you join me, allow me to speak into your life, and just kind of have a gauge on my perspective on what's going on. If you are new to the channel, I welcome you. Thank you so very much for making that decision to give me a try and to tune in. I ask that you would stay tuned and, you know, be open. Bring somebody else back with you next time. Tell someone else about the show. For those of you who are tuning in on a regular basis and have been, I am so very, very grateful for you. I wouldn't want to do this without you. You are the reason that I put so much time and effort. I appreciate you. And whether you're new or returning, I have an ask, and it is this, as always, to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And I'm so very grateful for those platforms for hosting the show. Now we need to get into what is going on. Prison guards, they do a really hard job. They are very important. Society wouldn't even really truly be safe without these people doing a very specific job.
Corrections officers in New York are set to meet with the mediator today. For more than a week now, many corrections officers and sergeants are refusing to report for duty while others are working and also walking picket lines. The National Guard has been called in to assist affected state prisons. The striking guards are upset with forced overtime and saying they're working in conditions they describe as inhumane. The strike is not authorized by the Correction Officers Union and is illegal under New York's Taylor Law, which imposes potential fines and other sanctions.
So, not sure if you heard about this, but there's a strike going on, a strike that has been going on amongst, unfortunately, hasn't gotten a lot of coverage amongst prison guards in New York. It sounds like about 38 out of the 42 or 41 prisons, 38 of those prison guards that belong to these various prison guards were on strike. The recent unapproved strike by New York prison guards shows just how dangerous this HALT Act has made their jobs. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. This law, there is a law that limits the use of solitary confinement, has allowed violent inmates to act out without fear or of real punishment. Now, as a result, attacks on prison officers have gone up, of course, easily predictable, making their work unsafe. These men and women, they put their lives on the line every single day. They make a decision to punch a clock, to put their lives on the line, working with the most degrading and vile of beings in our country. And they do it every single day. They put their lives on the line every day to keep order. Yet lawmakers have left them completely defenseless. And their frustration is, it's understandable. New York's leadership has failed them by passing laws that protect criminals instead of the people who actually enforce the rules. The recent unsanctioned wildcat strike by New York prison guards is a direct response to the dangerous consequences of the HALT Act, a deeply flawed piece of legislation that prioritizes the rights of violent criminals over the safety of correction officers and the general public. When you talk about the dangers of a job, you instantly think about police officers. We really kind of don't want, we kind of once over what prison guards actually do, these people who literally surround themselves with criminals on a regular basis. This law, which severely limits the use of solitary confinement, has emboldened violent inmates, leading to an alarming increase in assaults against prison staff. And the hardworking men and women who serve as correction officers are being put in harm's way on a daily, left defenseless by policies designed to coddle criminals rather than enforce discipline and maintain order within the prison system. Can leadership in New York get anything right? Right? They were wrong about Donald Trump. They're always wrong about their policies. They were wrong about illegal aliens. They were wrong about their stance on police officers. They're just literally wrong. They can't get it right. Right? It's almost a special talent. They're asking These workers, these prison guards, these prison staff, they're asking for basic safety measures on the job, to not be attacked, to not be intimidated, or have feces thrown on them.
For the first time, we're getting our hands on a letter from the state corrections department that really shows the state making an effort here to try to meet some of these correctional officers' demands. If we go to some video now, we can show you that letter. And the number one thing that they're addressing here is the HALT Act, which has been the biggest concern for these officers throughout this. The letter says that the HALT Act has been temporarily suspended until staffing levels are improved. And for those of you who don't know what the HALT Act is, it's a prison reform that limits solitary confinement to only a few weeks at most, when in the past it could have been months at a time, and in many ways takes a lot of leverage away from these officers when they try to punish inmates for misbehaving.
Now, of course, their frustration and their desperation culminating in this strike, however, highlights the complete failure of New York's leadership to protect those who uphold law and order. It's always against those who are on the right side of the law. And instead of ensuring a safe environment for both guards and inmates, the HALT Act has fostered chaos. You know, here's a suggestion: that we take a Hochul and we take an Alvin Bragg and a Letitia James and any other people who are legislating these type of, let's have them live in prison for about a week. Matter of fact, I'll give you 3 days to see how they feel about enforcing the legislation of the HALT Act. Okay. This is by eliminating. They are eliminating necessary disciplinary tools. Violent offenders feel emboldened to attack officers without meaningful consequences, leading to a surge in assaults and disorder. The legislation effectively turns prisons into lawless zones where criminals dictate the rules and officers are left to suffer the consequences. So what is the point of having them in prison in the first place if they get to prison and they're able to commit more and even more serious crimes, right? Meanwhile, New York's leadership continues to push soft on crime policies that prioritize rehabilitation over accountability, completely disregarding the real and immediate dangers these policies create. The results are very clear: rising violence in correctional facilities, overworked and demoralized officers, and a prison system on the verge of collapse. That is the results of this. So let me give you some savage and unfortunate stats, because at issue is this HALT Act. The HALT Act, meaning human alternatives to long-term confinement, right? HALT is at issue. Now, this piece of legislation that strikers wanted repealed, and when I say wildcat, it is unsanctioned. This is an unsanctioned wildcat strike, meaning that they didn't discuss this with the union. They went out aside from the union and they're just asking for basic requirements for safety. The law restricts solitary confinement to prisoners 21 years and younger, and instead focuses on other rehabilitation methods, because apparently at 21, even though there are adults and in an adult prison, there's something about 21 years and younger that requires special privileges. But instead of focusing on other rehabilitation methods, it has since gone into effect. It went into effect in 2022. GOP lawmakers cited that department stats say it has led to 169% increase in inmate-to-inmate assaults, a 76% increase in inmate-on-staff assaults, and a 32% jump in contraband cases. In other words, like all other Democrat laws, rules, policies, and efforts, it's failing. It has failed, right? It is flawed and is out of touch, and it is not based in any reality. The expense is always at innocent Americans, and in this case, American prison guards and their workers. Unsurprisingly, this situation is emblematic of a broader trend where Democrat leadership continues to enact policies that weaken law enforcement while strengthening protections for criminals, always protecting the criminals, putting criminals first. The HALT Act, like many other so-called criminal justice reforms, is not about fairness or rehabilitation. It's about appeasing radical activists and criminals at the expense of public safety. always the case. And instead of supporting the men and women who risk their lives to maintain law and order, these policies embolden criminals and send a dangerous message that violence goes unpunished, right? So they're not dissuaded. Now, think about this. You are in prison because you can't live amongst regular Americans, right? You've already done something heinous, so much so that you had to be put away, have your freedom taken away. And once you get in prison, you clearly aren't learning your lesson, because you can actually murder someone going to prison and not be in solitary confinement. So these people who are put in solitary confinement haven't gotten the message, and they go into prison and create and commit more crimes, right? They have proven that they can't live even amongst other criminals, so they have to be put away. If New York wants to restore safety and stability in its correction system, and I don't actually believe they do, but if they say they do, it must repeal the HALT Act and implement reforms that put officers and law-abiding citizens first, not the violent offenders. Really simple. Now, apparently, this past Thursday, an agreement was reached through mediation, but many of these guards and the workers say it was a slap in the face, saying that the deal didn't go quite far enough. Senator Daniel Steck said to Fox News Digital that, and I quote, that things that they're most upset about are things that are subject of this HALT legislation. A mediated agreement was reached late Thursday between the New York State Correctional Officers Union and the state's Department of Corrections and Community Supervision and other government-affiliated correction officers and their representatives. However, since some 15,000 correction workers have been on a wildcat strike, again, not sanctioned by the unions, they were not present during the negotiations, and a spokesperson for the striking workers told CBS the deal doesn't go far enough for them because they didn't actually have any true representatives in the room. Steck said this, it's not safe for the officers, it's not safe inside for anybody, and said that this has been pointed out to the administration time and time again since before they put the HALT Act into effect. The mediation agreement temporarily pauses key parts of the HALT Act for 90 days with a review by the DOCS commissioner and 30 days to decide whether the suspension should continue. Now, I don't know why there's even a discussion on that when you have people being attacked and you have 169 increase on inmate-to-inmate assaults, right? And prison workers are being assaulted, right? They're having feces thrown on them. What is there to discuss? At this period, a circuit breaker staffing rule will be introduced to prevent mandatory 24 overtime shifts. Now, mind you, in the midst of all this, while workers are on strike, the National Guard was put in place to make sure that there's still supervision in our prisons. Now, this has been requiring changes in facility operations and staffing, which has dropped below 70%. The agreement also ensured that protesting officers will not face disciplinary action if they return to work by March 1st, though those involved in illegal activities were still being penalized. Additionally, provisions included pay raises, referral bonuses, mental health support, and stricter security screenings to reduce drug smuggling through the prison mail. I mean, what's going on in the prisons? It's like being out on the streets. What's the point of the building? The mediation agreement temporarily pauses key parts of the HALT Act for 90 days, like I said. But after this period, a circuit breaker staffing will be reintroduced to prevent mandatory 24-hour overtime shifts. So these people were working 24-hour shifts, and they require changes in facility operations if staffing drops below that 70%. The agreement also ensured that protesting officers will not face disciplinary action.
We asked a few folks today if this temporary pause changes anything, and we'll listen to what they had to say here.
No, we don't want a temporary because you're going to come back in 2 weeks and reinstitute it, and then we did all this for nothing. We're not punching bags and we're not stabbing dummies, right?
If we can walk in there and not have to worry about feces thrown at us, getting stabbed, getting sexually assaulted, if we can go in there and just a little bit is lessened, then that's why we came out here.
When I think about what they put themselves through, I really do hope that, one, they get a pay increase because they deserve that. But these are people doing a job that most of us don't want to do. So here's to hoping those prison guards and prison workers get all the terms that they require and ask for. I thank them, truly thank them for doing a job that I don't want or would never do. But the results, folks, here are always the same. Always the same. Soft policies for criminals always, always endanger the innocent. Now, we need to move on to an individual that I take a personal offense to at every single opportunity, and she never disappoints. Ilhan Omar, as you know, was the congresswoman that I ran against here in Minnesota's 5th Congressional District. She remained the congressional candidate sitting in Congress right now as we speak. The people spoke, here we go. But she opens their mouth and inserts foot once again. Ilhan Omar has once again shown her true colors, disdain, arrogance, and outright hatred for the very country that gave her everything. Her latest comments dismissing Americans as too stupid and suggesting we shouldn't be allowed to speak freely are nothing short of disgusting.
These people are just idiots. I'm at the point where it's become really hard to have an intellectual debate with any of these people, because the level of stupidity that they are displaying every single day is frankly embarrassing, not just in Congress, but as Americans. And the fact that these people are allowed to say just the most ridiculous things tells you that the dumbing of the United States has arrived, because how else do we get a Trump presidency again?
Now, keep in mind, this is a woman who fled from a failed state. Keep that in mind. Was welcomed with open arms by the United States and somehow still finds every opportunity to attack and insult the American people, the people who voted for her, okay? Her contempt for our values, our Constitution, and our freedoms is beyond acceptable. It is a disgrace. It, quite frankly, honestly, just ticks me off. She has no business representing this country in Congress when she clearly despises the very people who put her there. Omar's remarks are not just insulting. They reveal a deep and dangerous belief that she and her radical allies know better than the American people, and that our freedoms should be controlled, that they should be limited and stripped away. She wants America to be like the disgusting Somalia. She wants to silence dissent. She wants to attack free speech and impose her own twisted ideology on this nation. This is the same woman who has repeatedly downplayed 9/11, defended terrorists, and pushed policies that weaken America from within. Her words and actions prove that she does not respect the people she supposedly serves. She views them as ignorant, beneath her, and unworthy of having a voice. Now, I know you say she was insulting those who put Trump in. Bottom line is, she is assaulting Americans, and she is in America, okay? Supposedly as an American citizen now to represent this country. This is not just anti-American. It is pure authoritarianism. The very fact that Ilhan Omar continues to sit in Congress spewing hatred towards this country that gave her refuge is an outrage. She should have been removed long ago for her constant attacks on America, her anti-Semitic rhetoric, and her complete disregard for our values. Yet, weak leadership in Washington continues to allow her to spread her poison and go unchecked. Every Republican, every patriot, and every sane American should be demanding that she is voted out, expelled, and sent packing back to where she came from. We do not need American-hating radicals representing our people. They do not need to be sitting in our three branches of government. We need leaders who love this country and put Americans first. Everyone knows that when it comes to Ilhan Omar, enough is enough. Omar's presence in Congress is a stain on our democracy, to our constitutional republic. It's an insult to every hardworking American. The people of this country deserve representatives who believe in America, believe in their right for citizenship, and who respect its funding principles. If she hates this country so much, she's welcome to leave. And if she won't, then it's up to the voters and true patriots to make sure she never holds power again. They can elect her out. America deserves better. Plainly put, Savage Truth, America deserves better than an Ilhan Omar. Minneapolis. Minneapolis was once a thriving, beautiful city, a symbol of prosperity and safety and opportunity in the Midwest. See, even though Minneapolis had always been run for the most part predominantly by Democrats, it did not look like a Gary, Indiana, or a Detroit, or a Philly. They still managed somehow to keep the city clean and safe. So it was blue run, but it was still beautiful and safe. But years of failed Democrat leadership over time, okay, will take its effect and impact. And more recently, the radical policies pushed by extremists like a Keith Ellison and an Ilhan Omar have driven it into the ground. Okay, they come from just failed states and they bring it with them. Crime is skyrocketing, businesses are fleeing, and law-abiding citizens are left to suffer while criminals run the streets with no fear of consequences. It is becoming another Philly, another Chicago, a Baltimore, or Detroit, cities that have been destroyed by decades of left-wing rule where violence and poverty and corruption are the norm. The radical left has turned Minneapolis into a disaster, pushing soft-on-crime policies, demonizing the police, and prioritizing criminals over hardworking citizens. This city is on the brink of total collapse, and if nothing changes, it will be unrecognizable in just a few short years, looking like those states, that the cities that I mentioned. But the people of Minneapolis cannot pretend they have no role in this downfall. I will say this. The voters are keeping her in. They keep voting for the very politicians who are destroying their city. Every election, they have this. They have a chance. They have an opportunity to reject this madness. Yet they continue to elect radicals who care more about political agendas than the safety and prosperity of their constituents. The only way to stop this downward spiral is to bring in strong conservative leadership. Yes, CD5 would be better off in Republican conservative hands for leadership. Leaders who will restore law and order, they will support law enforcement and bring back economic growth. If Minneapolis wants to be saved, its citizens must wake up and vote for change. Otherwise, they are condemning their once great city to the same fate as every other Democrat-run disaster zone in America. That's the Savage Truth. Now, that was a great segue into my final portion of the episode. Some more American pride. As Somalians is the official language of Somalia, although many want to be here in America, so many Somalians want to actually be here. English is the official language of this exceptional U.S. of A, as set by the great President Donald J. Trump. Yes, yes, yes. President Donald Trump signed an executive order on Friday officially recognizing English as the language of the United States, as proven and written by Fox News Digital, which is the source I pulled this from, confirming this on Friday. This decisive action reinforces the importance of a common language in maintaining national unity and streamlining government operations. Trump will sign the executive order later. He signed it late on Friday, overturning a mandate issued by former President Bill Clinton in 2000, which forced federal agencies and federally funded organizations to provide language assistance to non-English speakers. Now, a White House official told Fox News Digital, again, which is where I pulled this source from, that removing this mandate would actually help cut wasteful spending and encourage immigrants to assimilate by learning English. Oh, I love that sentiment. If you are an immigrant in this country, you must assimilate by learning English, strengthening their ability to succeed in America. We here in America, we speak English. We're going to need you to embrace and speak English. and make that your dominant language. Despite nearly 250 years of history, the U.S., believe it or not, has never actually officially declared English as its national language, even though every foundational document, including the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, was written in English. A White House official noted that about 180 of the 195 countries worldwide have official languages, making the U.S. one of the few that has yet to establish one up until now, Donald Trump. With this executive order, Trump has ensured that America follows the example of successful nations that recognize the necessity of a shared language for unity and for efficiency and national identity. It will be left to the individual federal agencies to assess whether to offer services in languages other than English. Love that man and what he's doing.
We have languages coming into our country. We don't have one instructor in our entire nation that can speak that language. These are languages. It's the craziest thing. They have languages that nobody in this country has ever heard of.
For too long, political correctness and leftist policies have weakened national cohesion by encouraging division through language barriers. America has always been a melting pot, but every successful nation must have a common language to function effectively. English is already the dominant language of government, of business, and of culture. Making it official will ensure that immigrants embrace American values and fully integrate into society rather than forming isolated communities. Oh, this is such a great move on the behalf of the president. This executive order is not about exclusion, because that's what they're going to say. They're going to jump all over it. It's about strengthening the American spirit and fostering national unity. When you come here to this country, you must assimilate. When immigrants come to the U.S., they should be encouraged to learn English so they can seize every opportunity this country has to offer. Now, unfortunately, Democrats have pushed for, you know, multilingual policies that create unnecessary bureaucracy, increase government spending, and make it harder for immigrants to succeed. They have to learn English. By officially recognizing English, Trump is making it clear that while America welcomes newcomers, and we do legally the right way, we expect them to assimilate and embrace the values that have made this country great. You're not going to bleed our lines, and you're not going to water down our American culture. A shared language is essential for communication, for economic success, and the preservation of American culture. This is yet another example of Trump putting America first and fighting against the radical left's agenda to weaken national identity. Countries like Canada and Switzerland may function with multiple official languages, but they also suffer from deep cultural divides. America should not follow that path. We should not. This executive order will reinforce our national strength. It will reduce unnecessary government costs and ensure that the U.S. remains a place where opportunity is available to all who work for America. United under one language, united under one flag, united under one God, and one proud American identity. Okay, when you come to this country, learn and master English. It's the language of the land. And I'm going to let that be the savage truth for the episode. Thank you for joining me. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.